Title: Phaser Movement on Atmospheric Pads, Advanced ENB in Ableton Live. All right, let's take a static atmospheric pad and turn it into something that actually feels alive in a drum and bass track. Not cheesy jet plane whoosh, not a trance sweep that takes over the mix. We're going for controlled, tempo-locked movement that sits behind the drums and the sub, feels like shifting air pressure, and still holds up when you hit mono. We'll do this with stock Ableton devices, and we'll build it like a performance tool, with macros you can automate from breakdown into drop. First, the big idea. A phaser is basically moving notches through the sound. If your pad is harmonically rich, those notches create this incredible sense of motion. But if your pad has mud, or too much low-mid information, the phaser doesn't animate it, it just makes the mud wobble. So we prep the pad first, then we add movement, then we control tone and stereo safety, and only then we add space. Step 1. Pick a pad that can actually take modulation. You can use Waveatable, Analog, Operator, whatever. Or even a resampled atmospheric loop. For drum and bass, slow chords work best. 1-bar or 2-bar chord changes, minor or Phrygian vibes, lots of space. If the pad is already super wide and chorus wide, that's fine, just know you'll use gentler phaser settings. Now group your effects into a rack. Select the devices on the pad track and group them. Name the rack something like PAD Movement Rack. This matters because once you get this right, you're going to want to reuse it across tunes. Now we pre-EQ. This is non-negotiable. Drop EQ 8 first. High pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz. Where exactly depends on your key and how busy your bass is, but you're trying to get the pad out of the way of the sub and the punch of the kick. Then, if it feels boxy, do a small dip around 250 to 450 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB, with a moderate Q. And if the pad has that aggressive presence that turns sharp once it starts moving, you can slightly dip somewhere around 2 to 4K. Here's the why in one sentence. The phaser will exaggerate resonances, so whatever you feed it, it will perform it. Feed it mud. It performs mud. Now we build the phaser core. Add Ableton's phaser flanger after a Q8. And make sure you're in phaser mode, not flanger. Start with sync on for the rate, because in ENB the movement needs to feel glued to the pocket. Set the rate to either 1/8 or 1/16. 1/16 is that shimmering, rolling motion that tucks behind hats and percussion. 1/8 is slower and more liquid, great for breakdowns and intros. I'd avoid 1/4 in most ENB drops unless you want a very obvious dramatic sweep that becomes a feature. Then set your depth or amount somewhere around 45% as a starting point, feedback around 15%, and wet around 25%. That's a clean, DNB-friendly baseline. If it already sounds like a sci-fi jet taking off, you went too far on wet and feedback. Pull them back until you feel motion without hearing the effect. Quick coaching note. Think in motion bands, not full-range movement. You usually don't want the phaser sweeping the entire spectrum equally. You want the core of the pad to feel steady, while the high mids and highs do most of the traveling. That's how you get expensive, cinematic movement instead of cheap sweeping. Now let's make it feel less robotic. Tempo sync is great, but if everything repeats the exact same way every bar, your ear catches it as a loop. So we add drift, a slow, free-running modulation on one parameter, while the main rate stays synced. If you have Max for live, drop an LFO device after the phaser. Map it to the phaser amount, or wet, or even something like the center if it's available in your version. Use a sine wave, set the LFO rate super slow, like 0.07 to 0.15 Hz. That means it evolves over many bars. Keep the modulation amount tiny, like 5 to 12%. The goal is not wah-wah, it's the air is slowly changing in the room. If you don't have Max for live, just automate wet or amount slowly across 8 or 16 bars. And here's a pro move. Add tiny clip envelope differences between sections so the motion isn't identical every time the chord loop repeats. Now tone control. Dark first, shimmer later. Put auto filter after the phaser. Use a low pass 24 dB filter, cut off somewhere around 6 to 12 kHz. Start at around 9 kHz. Keep resonance low. This is your anti-cheese filter. It keeps the movement moody and weighted. You can optionally put another auto filter before the phaser as a pre-filter, like a gentle low pass at 10 to 14 kHz, just to stop the phaser from generating that spitty, fizzy top. Think of this like giving the phaser a safer canvas to paint on. Now, stereo and mono safety, the part people skip and then wonder why their pad disappears on club systems. Add utility after the filters. Turn on bass mono and set it around 120 to 180 Hz. Then set width somewhere like 90 to 120%. If the facer is making the stereo image weird, don't fight it with more widening. Reduce width to something like 80 to 95% until it holds up. And when you mono check, don't only ask, is it quieter? Ask, does the movement still exist, or did the animation collapse? If the motion disappears in mono, you're probably relying too much on side information. Fix it by reducing feedback, reducing stereo phase offset, and relocating the movement higher in the spectrum. One really effective trick is mid/side EQ. High pass the side so your low mid stays stable and centered. Now let's add space, without washing the mix. Put reverb after the movement chain, but keep it controlled. Use a pre-delay around 15 to 30 milliseconds so the pad still has definition. Decay somewhere around 2.5 to 6 seconds. Shorter for drops, longer for breakdowns. High pass the reverb around 250 to 400 Hz, and low pass at around 6 to 10 kHz. Keep the insert wet around 10 to 25%. If you want big atmosphere, do it the grown-up way. Use a return track. Create a return called something like ATM verb. Put a big reverb there, and high pass it hard, like 400 Hz. Then automate the send. More in breakdown, less in drop. That way you get size without stealing punch from the drums. Next, protect yourself from facer peaks. Facers with feedback can create momentary resonant spikes. Put a gentle ceiling after the movement stage, either glue compressor or a limiter, barely working, 1 to 2 dB on the loudest peaks. You're not trying to squash the pad, you're just preventing that one resonant moment from poking out and jump scares the mix. Now let's turn this into a performance instrument with macros. In your pad movement rack, create four macros. Macro 1. Movement amount. Map it to facer wet, facer amount or depth, and feedback. Set the ranges so you can't accidentally go into jet plane territory. For example, wet from 15 up to 45, depth from 30 to 70, feedback from 10 to 35. Now one knob gives you more life without ruining the sound. Macro 2. Speed. Ideally map it to the facer rate, aiming between 1/8 and 1/16. If macro mapping feels stepped because of sync divisions, that's normal. In that case, keep it as automation where you deliberately switch rates at musical moments, instead of trying to sweep continuously. Macro 3. Darkness. Map it to the post-filter cutoff, like 6 kHz up to 14 kHz, and also map reverb high cut, like 5 kHz up to 10 kHz. This macro is how you go from moody to slightly more open without suddenly getting harsh. Macro 4. Width safe. Map utility width, maybe 80 up to 130%, and map bass mono frequency from 100 up to 180 Hz. This is your club compatibility knob. If you're ever unsure, turn this macro towards safer settings. Now arrangement, because this is where the effect becomes DNB, not just sound design. In the breakdown, you can go bigger and slower, higher movement amount, speed at 1/8, darker tone, and higher reverb send. Think suspended drift, not intense rolling. In the last 4 to 8 bars before the drop, you create tension by tightening. Increase speed from 1/8 to 1/16. Pull the reverb send down slightly so the pad feels closer and more focused. And instead of a dramatic rate ramp, try automating feedback upward a little bit for intensity, then snapping it down right at the drop impact. That reads as energy without screaming effect automation. In the drop, less is more. Keep movement amount moderate, speed on 1/16 for that rolling undercurrent, and keep width stable. A really advanced rule. In the main drop, reduce the number of moving targets. If rate is moving, width is moving, cutoff is moving, wet is moving, and the reverb send is moving, you'll smear the groove and your track will feel quieter. Pick one main macro to automate, usually movement amount, and keep the rest steady. Here are two advanced variations you can try once the basic chain works. First variation, parallel top only facer. Inside your rack, create two chains. One chain is the dry body, EQ, gentle saturation, stable width. The other chain is the motion chain. High pass it aggressively, somewhere between 800 Hz and 2 kHz, then run the facer wetter, then low pass to taste. Blend the chains. This is how you get big movement without destabilizing the core of the pad. Second variation, mid and side split phasing. Make two chains, one mid only, one side only, using utility. On the mid chain, do subtle phasing. On the side chain, do more obvious phasing and high pass the sides. This gives you big stereo motion, but the center stays solid, and mono fold down doesn't delete the whole vibe. Now a quick calibration check that advanced producers actually do. Mute your hats and percussion. Leave just kick and snare. Listen to whether the facer motion creates a fake swing or a pulsing rhythm that competes with the backbeat. If it does, switch your facer sync division or reduce depth. The perceived rhythm should come from drums, not from modulation. Mini practice exercise to lock this in. Make an 8-bar pad chord loop in a minor key. Build the rack. Then create two scenes with automation. Scene A is breakdown. Movement amount around 70%. Speed 1/8. Reverb sent high. Darkest darker, like cutoff around 7 to 9k. Scene B is drop. Movement amount around 40%. Speed 1/16. Reverb send low. Darkness slightly brighter, like cutoff around 10 to 12k. Then automate the transition over 4 bars. Speed switches from 1/8 to 1/16. Reverb send comes down, and feedback nudges up slightly before the drop, then down right on impact. Finally, do the checkpoint that separates sounds cool in my room from works everywhere. Bounce a mono version, or throw a utility on your master and hit mono. Make sure the pad still reads as a pad, and that the motion doesn't completely vanish. If it collapses, reduce width, reduce feedback, and move the motion higher with EQ or mid/side filtering. Recap to lock it in. Prep the pad with EQ so the facer doesn't animate mud. Sync the facer rate to 1/8 or 1/16 for DNB groove. Add slow drift to one parameter so it doesn't loop the same way every bar. Control tone with post filtering so it stays dark and weighty. Protect mono with bass mono and sensible width. Use reverb in parallel for size and automate like a producer. Bigger in breakdown, tighter in drop. If you tell me your BPM and whether your pad is a synth patch or an audio texture, I can suggest a specific facer sync division and a simple automation curve that will sit perfectly with your drum pocket.